called Fixing Us, and I know that when you saw the title of this message, you were all probably thinking the same thing, and here's what you were probably all thinking. You were thinking, I hope they get fixed, right? That's what you were thinking. In fact, that's probably why you brought them here, because you were thinking, I hope they get fixed. Didn't you think that? How many of you guys would love to fix the person next to you? That's why you brought them here. Just go ahead and admit it. It's true. You invited them, you coerced them, and probably like kind of, you know, you said, hey, you know, I'll take you to lunch, hey, I'll clean the house, because really you're hoping they get fixed, because you know they could use an attitude adjustment, right? This is counseling, so it's time to be honest. Remember we said no, we're not going to go there, but you just kind of respond back to me quietly, that'd be fine. But you say, man, you know what, she could really use some fixing in the kitchen, right? Anybody here? Yeah, you're thinking, you're not ready to answer that, but you're thinking about it. Or you're thinking, no, man, they could really use some fixing as it relates to how they talk to our kids, because we shouldn't talk to our kids that way, right? You really think, you know, man, they could really use some fixing and how they spend money. Yeah, so some of you are thinking about this. You're thinking, yes, this is what I hoped for. You were thinking, man, I hope they get fixed, because I hope somehow, maybe by God, he gets through to them today. This is what you're hoping for. You're hoping they get fixed. In fact, I know what you were not thinking. Here's what you were not thinking. You were not thinking, I hope I get fixed. You didn't come in here today going, man, I just really hope. He preaches so good that it just really deals with all that deep stuff, issues that I have in my life. Like, I hope that I walk out of here today with just kind of, you know, losing the attitude that I have, or just the lack of self-control that I have when it comes to spending. You know, I just hope that somehow he deals with that. Like, you didn't come to church normally thinking, man, I hope I get fixed. You came thinking today, I hope they get fixed. Right? See, I can say this and I can lift my hand because my wife's not in the room. So that's why you came today. You came thinking, man, I just hope they get fixed. Well, I just thought, let's just set kind of the record straight. Let's just get on the same page. And here's the truth. When it comes to relationships, we all could use some fixing. We all could use a little fixing. None of us in this room have it figured out, okay? Even if you've been married for 20, 30, you're like, hey, I got it figured out. All of us could use a little bit of fixing, because all of us have been burned before. All of us have burned somebody else. Whether it's in a marriage, or it's just in a friendship, or it's in a work environment, whatever the context of the relationship comes, all of us could use a little bit of fixing. And so that's really kind of what we're going to spend the next 4 weeks, just talking about how we can go about kind of fixing ourselves as it pertains to relationships. And if you're single, you might say, well, I'm not married, but yeah, but you're in relationships, you got friendships, you got work relationships, you got family relationships that you're involved in. And so whether you're married, or maybe you're about to get married, maybe you're engaged to get married. Anybody in here engaged to get married? You're on your way. How about that drama? Did that inspire you? Like, were you thinking, hey, yes, that's, okay, yeah, don't hire him as your pastor, but that's just it. Yeah. So you know, wherever you fall on the relationship, you know, kind of spectrum, wherever you fall on this idea, we can all relate. We could all use a little bit of fixing. So my goal, our goal for you this series is really, really simple. It's just that you'd get a little bit better at relationships. That's what it comes down to, that you would just get like maybe just 5% better at your marriage, just a little bit better at doing and living life with a person that you live with, or maybe that you're going to live with, whatever capacity that you work with, that you would just get better at doing relationships. And so today, I just want to set the stage, kind of like the whole thing. There's not a lot of Bible verses, so that doesn't mean we're against the Bible, just kind of setting the whole stage for the series. I also want to say this too. This is one of those series that you got to make sure that you kind of listen to part one, which is why you're here. But if you miss for some reason, you miss, you know, next week or the next week or something like that, just make sure you go online to wearebrave.church, listen to our podcast. We'll put it up on there for you to listen to, because you're going to want to listen to, you know, the one that's previous, because it all kind of builds on one another. And each week too, this is really cool, you're going to get homework. So this is awesome. I know you're excited. So you didn't think this was counseling, but you're going to get homework. And so this is good. And so ladies, this is your opportunity, by the way. I have completely set the stage for you. So take full advantage of the situation that we're in. But whenever it comes to relationships, all of us have a box. All of us have a box of hopes, dreams, and desires. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Whenever it comes to relationships, all of us have some hopes, dreams, and desires about money. When you got involved, or you're getting involved in your relationships, you have a hope, a dream, and a desire as it relates to money. How we're going to spend our money, right? We're going to just buy whatever we want to buy. No need to budget. We'll just kind of live life to the fullest. Amen. Anybody like that at all? Yes. We don't need Excel documents. We don't need budget meetings. No, we'll just spend. Hey, if we see it, we spend it. That's how it works here. And you had an idea about this as it relates to money. And you kind of have an idea because maybe kind of the home you grew up in, so you thought that's how money's made, you know, just kind of money just falls on. We're going to have a big house. This is what we're going to do. This is money, 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 money. And you think about, you know, money is what it's all about. And so you work, you know, all the time because it's all about money. You have a hope, dream, and desire as it pertains to money whenever you enter a relationship. Something else you have hopes, dreams, and desires about is time. How you're going to spend your time. Now, some couples do this. You enter into your relationship, maybe this is you, and you just think, you know, every night's going to be date night. You know, this is how we spend our time. Every night we watch a TV show and we cuddle with popcorn and M&Ms, and that's what we do, and that's how we spend our time. You know, that's what time in marriage is supposed to be like, because that's my hope, that's my dream, that's my desire. And for some of the guys, like, no, Mo, my time is with a beer in my hand watching a game in the man cave, alone, no kids around. You know, that's how I spend my time. When it comes to time, all of us have some hopes, dreams, and desires. Here's another one. You have some hope, dreams, and desires as it relates to house chores. You do. You do. You got into marriage and saying, oh, yeah, my mom always cleaned and made my bed, and so that's what she's going to do for me. Yep. Yeah, you have some ideas about she's going to do the dishes, he's going to do the trash, he's going to do the yard, I'm going to sit at home. You have hopes, dreams, and desires as it relates to how you go about doing chores. I can feel the marriage already, the tension in the room. It's getting good. Something else you have hopes, dreams, and desires about. Now, this is kind of a weird house. It has a cross on it because that's what Christians do. But you have, I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that. But you have hopes, dreams, and desires as it relates to a home, don't you? You do. In fact, for some of you, it's living in the suburbs. It's a white picket fence. It's a farm. It's no. It's a sky rise in downtown New York City. You know, that's kind of thing. You have a hope, a dream, and a desire as it relates to the kind of the house that you live in. We're going to rent. We're going to buy. We're going to buy multiple houses. We're going to buy multiple properties. We're going to vacation everywhere we go. We're going to live on a bus. All right. So anyways, let's keep moving. Some of us have hopes, dreams, and desires. You do. You have hopes, dreams, and desires as it relates to sports cars. Yeah. Well, you think, yeah, we're going to drive sports cars. That's what we're going to do, you know, and we're going to both get convertibles, two-seaters. That's how we're going to live our lives. That's what marriage is going to be like. And then reality sets in, and you get a Monsters, Inc. bus. Literally, you do, where you get a bus and a van with, like, stickers all over it, and my kids, student of the month, and all that stuff. Yep. Then you have hopes, dreams, and desires as it relates to kids, and you have one child. Or some of you have no children, but some of you think, no, I want a child. And some of you are like, no, we don't want a girl. We want a boy. So we're just going to keep going. Oh, we're going to keep going. Now we finally got our boy. Well, let's just go ahead. You have hopes, dreams, and desires as it relates to children. And some of you just like keep piling on all the children you possibly can. Some of you are going, please, God, no more babies. Now, this is a true one. This is a good one, too. This is so true. Some of you, especially men, you have hopes, dreams, and desires of what your wife will never wear to bed. Right? Now, ladies, you have hopes, dreams, and desires, too, because you're like, no, he wants me to wear that to bed because he wants me to be comfortable. I just want a man who just cares more about my comfort. We don't care about your comfort. Okay. It's hopes, dreams, and desires. Something else we have hopes, dreams, and desires about is how you handle your UFC fights, you know? How you handle conflict, you do. Some of you have hopes, dreams, and desires, and you saw your parents handle conflict in, you know, maybe a really healthy way or unhealthy way. And so, you know, in your family, you yell it out. I mean, that's what it feels like. That's how you kind of see it. Hey, we're just going to yell it out, you know, use profanity, whatever. It's okay. This is how we can just get it out. We're honest with one another. Some of you are like, no, that's not how we're going to handle conflict. We're going to hold hands. We're going to look each other in these eyes. We're going to just whisper, you know, to one another. We're going to use good, proper tone. We're going to communicate really well. Then we're going to take communion afterwards, you know. We're just going to share the bread, you know. We're going to pray, lift each other up, you know, and that's how you handle conflict. All of us have hopes, dreams, and desires when it comes to the relationships that we involve ourselves in. And regardless of whatever your hopes and your dreams are, regardless of wherever it is they stand, at the center of all of your hopes and your dreams and your desires is you. Right? Because that's what it says. Your hopes They're your dreams, and they're your desires. At the center of your hopes and your dreams and your desires, at the center of your box is you. And here's the problem with this idea. Whenever we take our hopes, but whenever we take our hopes, and make sure that she never gets a hold of it, our hopes and our dreams, and we put all of that back into our box, you know, we have all of our hopes and all of our dreams and how we're going to do chores, and we put all of this, and here's what we do. All of us do this. We don't do it intentionally, just kind of one of those things that just happens, and we take all of our stuff, we say, this is our hopes, this is our dreams, and here's what we all do. We take our hopes and our dreams in our box, and we hand it to the other person, and here's what we say. Here, help me make sure that these things come to reality. And whenever we take our box, our hopes, our dreams, all the things that we've been storing up since we were young, all the hopes and all the dreams and all the desires that we've put inside our box, we place them into the hands of the other person and say, here, help carry these. Now, to them, here's the problem. To them, it's not hopes, dreams, and desires. To them, it comes across as expectations. Whenever you take your hopes and your dreams and your desires and you put them into the arm of somebody else, they don't carry around hopes, dreams, and desires. They are now carrying around the weight to make sure that they become a reality. And now to them, it feels more like a responsibility, something they are now required to do. And in fact, it may take such a toll on this individual whenever we're passing it over and we're passing our boxes to the next person that they begin to feel like they owe you this box. And it becomes kind of one of those types of scenarios where you can easily end up convincing them that this is what you owe me. And whenever we bring our boxes, because this is just what we do, this is just what happens. It's not like this is just we're bad for this. We did something wrong. This is just something that we do. We all have these things inside of our box. We bring it to the other person, and whenever we do it, it can come across as an expectation that they're called out to do this thing and make sure this thing comes a reality. And they have to shoulder this burden. And whenever you take your box into relationship and you bring your box into relationship and you bring your box into relationship, here's what happens as a result. Eyes collide. We don't collide. Eyes collide. Because you bring your box and I brought my box. I have my hopes, dreams, and desires, and you have your hopes, dreams, and desires. And so we're going to bring them together and eyes collide. And when eyes collide, here's what we do. We strive to compromise. That just rhymes, doesn't it? It sounds really good. Eyes collide. We strive to compromise. In fact, you're thinking, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Strive to compromise. That's actually what you've been taught to do. How many of you guys have heard before in your relationships, we're supposed to compromise? It's all about compromise. Yeah, it's like compromise, compromise, compromise. And some of you, you haven't been taught that. That's okay. That's why you're here. But compromise. We had this idea that, yeah, we're supposed to compromise. It's all about just making sure that you fulfill what's in my box and I fulfill what's in your box. But whenever you have a relationship, this is so important, that's based upon compromise, where a relationship strives to compromise, these are the kinds of things that you might hear one another were saying. You say, you know, hey, here's what we'll do. You get Thursdays and I'll take Mondays. You get Thanksgiving and Christmas and I'll, no, that's not usually how it goes, because in my house, this is how it went. Hey, this is actually something Krista, I know she thought about saying. She said, Ricky, we got married. Your family can get Halloween, and then my family gets Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like, Halloween? Yeah, and Groundhog Day. That sounds fantastic. Thanks for looking out for me. I appreciate that. But you did this. Chris and I did this. You did this. You start to compromise. You start to say, you do this, and then I'll do that. You know, you start to kind of work out, and here's what happens. You don't mean it to happen, it just happens. You start to work out kind of like a contract, right? Hey, you do this for me, and then I'll do this for you. This is what happens in relationships where there's expectations are placed into the other hands. You end up saying stuff like this. You do what I expect, and then I'll do what you expect. And now your relationship has gone to kind of more this contractual type of thing. And the reason why that happens, this is so important, this just happens to all of us, we kind of find ourselves in a situation where somebody doesn't do what you expected them to do. Hey, you said that by the end of this year, we would do this. You said that, I know your mom is sick and she's in the hospital, but you said it's my Christmas. You can't break that because this is what I'm expecting out of you. I know things have changed. I know the scenario's changed. I know your job has changed. I know the finances are there, but you said you'd do this for me. And it becomes like this kind of expectation thing. Here's what expectations are. Expectations are simply just a strong belief something will happen in the future or just will be the case, right? Something will happen or will be the case in the future. And so we end up placing these expectations on the other person. And we put it into their hands. We say, here, help this become a reality. Help make sure that these things actually at some point occur. And you say things, and I say things, and we say things kind of like this. Hey, I know that times are tough, but eventually we're going to get the house that I wanted, right? I mean, eventually you're going to give me the child. I know it's the first couple of years, but eventually you're going to give me that family that I wanted, right? Eventually, you're going to make sure that I don't have to work, right? Eventually, because you're here to help to make sure, this is so important, that my hopes and my dreams become a reality. I mean, now all of a sudden that responsibility gets placed and the other person is asked to carry those expectations. And anytime you have expectations kind of at the front and center of a relationship, here's what you end up creating. You create what's called a debt-debtor relationship because that's what expectations do. Expectations create a debt-debtor relationship. It becomes an I-O-U. It becomes an I-O-U relationship. In other words, you begin to say things like, hey, we got married. And some of you have done this before. We got married, and whenever you married me, you owe me kids now. This is something that I've been dreaming about, and you owe it to me. I have been dreaming about that particular house. I have been dreaming about how we're going to spend time, and you owe that to me. You owe it to me. In fact, you owe intimacy to me. Some of you have actually tried to take that from the Bible and somehow twist it into a way to control her or control him. You owe me intimacy. You owe me affection. You owe me this or that. You owe me. And it becomes this expectation, debt-debtor relationship. And we say these things like, you owe me provision. You owe me. This is just one of those kinds of things we find ourselves internally saying. And here's the problem. Whenever you have a debt-debtor relationship, a relationship that at the very front and center is you, a relationship where you've simply handed somebody your bucket, you've handed someone your box, and it's coming across to them as an expectation, there's two main problems that happen whenever you kind of go approach a relationship this way. And here's the first one. The first problem with this debt-debtor relationship is that gratitude becomes rare. Let me talk about this for just a moment to help us understand what this means. And I've seen it happen in my own life. This has happened to me. When I was thinking about this sermon, this talk, it really is, this is something that stood out to me. It's just something that happens. Here's how you know. This is a good question, because here's a question for you. How much gratitude, put it up, how much gratitude do you express to someone who does what they're supposed to do? And the answer, you know this, is minimal. It's minimal. You rarely express gratitude for what you've come to expect. We rarely express gratitude for what we've come to expect, right? So Carissa, this is something that happens in our home. Here's how this kind of looks, right? Carissa, it just typically makes the coffee. She's up a little earlier than me, so she makes the coffee in the morning. And so the coffee is made. And so rarely do I ever express gratitude. Hey, baby, you did it again. Thanks for making the coffee. You're just so amazing. I just appreciate that. No, here's what happens. Carissa makes the coffee in the morning. And so because she does it every single morning, I've come to expect it. And because I've come to expect it, I rarely express gratitude for it. And as a kind of a part of that, here's what happens. Where there's little gratitude expressed, little appreciation is felt. And so all of a sudden, it can begin to creep in on you because you become to expect something to happen. You rarely express gratitude. And because you rarely express the gratitude, all of a sudden, someone begins to feel less and less and less appreciated. It's just one of those things that just sometimes happens when we get involved in our relationships where there's this IOU. I mean, just imagine this scenario. Think about it like this. And this is probably more how maybe it could be or should be, if you would, that even though Carissa makes the coffee in the morning, when I wake up, I say, hey, thanks for doing that again. She's like, but babe, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I've been doing it for the past couple of years. I know. But every morning I wake up and I don't expect you to do that for me. Now, I'm just grateful. All of a sudden, the gratitude in the relationship goes up. I don't expect you to clean the house for me. Yeah, but no, that's just what I do. I bathe the kids. Yeah, but I don't expect you to do that. You don't have to do that for me. And by default, the gratitude in the relationship increases. Gratitude becomes rare in a relationship that's built on and based on expectations. I expect this out of you. Because the reality is, we rarely express gratitude for what we've come to expect out of the other person. And the second problem with this kind of debtor relationship is this: love gets limited. Love is limited. Rather than doing it out of a love thing, you do it out of a you're supposed to thing. In fact, for some of you, you've done that in your relationship. Hey, this is what you're supposed to do. I'm not going to thank you. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to bring me flowers on Valentine's Day. Because that was my hope and my dream and my desire. I don't know if you know that, but it was. And that's what you're supposed to do. So I don't have to say thanks, and I don't have to show gratitude, because that's what you're supposed to do. In fact, sometimes you can kind of put that on somebody, that this is what you're supposed to do. This is an expectation I have on you. This is your role as a spouse, as a husband, as a wife. This is what you're supposed to do. And all of a sudden, gratitude becomes rare, and the love gets limited because, and this is why the love gets limited, because whenever you put somebody in the position that they're doing it because of an expectation you've placed on them, you have limited the opportunity to do it out of love. You've limited their opportunity, their options to say, I'm going to do this out of love, not out of some expectation that you've placed on me. And love gets limited anytime you have this debtor type of relationship. So I know the question you're probably thinking about. You're thinking, well, what are you saying? I shouldn't have a box? Is it not right for me to have hopes and dreams and desires? Because you do. Do we just set down the box? Do we just say, no, forget about it? Do we just set it to the side? The truth is, no, of course not. Of course not. You have hopes, dreams, and desires. In fact, some of these are God-given. Some of these God has actually put inside of you, and he's created you for some of these hopes, dreams, and desires that are inside. So what do you do with your box? The real question is better than not you just set it to the side. The real question is, what do you do with your hopes, dreams, and your desires? And how do you stop them? This is the key part. How do you stop them from becoming an expectation into the person you're in a relationship with? How do you prevent your hopes and your dreams and your desires from coming what can feel like an expectation on the person that you're in a relationship with? And this whole thing is really kind of answered with this question that we're going to ask. And if there's just one kind of thing, I just hope you get with this. You're like, God, that kind of made me wrestle. That kind of made me cringe when you saw it. Because when you see this question, when I read this question, when I saw this question, I was thinking, gosh, that's a powerful question. And this question can really help you, and it can help me. It can kind of help fix us with our tendency to bring our box, put into somebody else as an expectation. And that's the goal. How do we prevent it from becoming and feeling like an expectation on the other person, where they're responsible for it, and they're called out, and they're supposed to do what I want them to do? Because it's my hopes, and it's my dreams, and it's our. And when we said I do, you said you'd make this become a reality. How do we prevent that from happening? How do we prevent that from kind of becoming like an expectation? Here's how we do it. We ask ourselves this question. It's a challenging question. Probably not going to like me for it, but here's the question. What do they owe me? What do they owe you? Let me just ask you. What do they owe you? Like, what does that boss owe you? What does that spouse, your friend owe you? The truth is, and we know the answer, as ugly as it feels, as hard as it is, we know the answer to this question. They don't owe you anything. They owe you nothing. But we have a tendency to think they owe us. The moment you signed up and you said, I do, you owe this box to me. You owe me my hopes and my dreams, my desires. And it begins to feel like a heavy burden on the relationship. And it takes a toll after a little while. And it begins to feel a little uncomfortable. But the truth is, they don't owe you anything. And something inside of all of us, when we hear that, we cringe. We say, wait a second. No, they owe me. No, they don't owe you anything. They don't owe you a thing. And here's what kind of happens internally in couples that understand this idea. Couples and relationships, whether it's friendships, this is so true, whether it's work relationships, it's friendships, it's marriages, regardless of the type of relationship you're in, whenever relationships have this type of mindset, here's the mindset they carry. They realize this idea that we owe each other everything and they're owed nothing in return. Think about that. I'm going to say that again to help absorb that. Whenever you come to the mindset that you owe the other person everything and you're owed nothing in return, all of a sudden the relationship gets drastically better. And the reason why it gets so better, it just kind of skyrockets and just launches out into a healthier relationship, is because all of a sudden, rather than a relationship being based on expectations that are placed into the other person's hand, all of a sudden the relationship takes a new form. Whenever you say, you know what, this is really, I'm not owed anything, but I owe you everything, here's what happens as a result. It becomes a submission competition. A submission competition. Who can outserve the other? Who can get to the back of the line the fastest? Who can say, I am pushing you forward and I am pushing me back every time? Just imagine the scenario in relationships if everyone in the relationship was involved in that degree. Can I just say the reason why you don't have submission competitions in your life? Because you lack trust. The reason why there's no submission competition in workplace is because you don't trust him or you don't trust her. The reason why we have a tendency to say, oh, but that's just really vulnerable, because if I literally put them first, what happens to me if they don't put me first? It exposes kind of who we are as individuals. And that's deeply rooted in our sin. It's deeply rooted in just kind of what we bring to the table, this tension of what about me? And so we get extremely vulnerable anytime we enter into a submission competition. But I'm just here to tell you, couples that are healthier, couples that have it kind of figured out, have this become a reality in their relationship. It's a submission competition. Who can race to the back of the line first? Who can just catapult and lift up? No, baby, it's all about you. Just hear this, baby, it's about you. No, baby, it's about you. No, it's you first. It just changes the dynamic of a relationship. Man, we're going to go where you want to go. No, we're going to go where you want to go. No, we're going to go where you want to go. No, you want to go where you want to go. It's just submission, competition. And all of a sudden, the relationship takes on a whole new life. Now, here's the good news. If you're a Christian couple, if you're not a Christian couple and you're already kind of doing this, hey, that's awesome. Keep doing it. But if you're a Christian couple, in case you didn't know, you actually are absolutely cool with this. In fact, you look at kind of Jesus, because that's your whole thing. As a Christian, you said you wanted to be like Jesus. You said you wanted to love like Jesus and do like Jesus. And so for Christian couples, they get this. For Christian couples, you're supposed to be like, man, we fully wrap our heads around this idea of submission competition. Because here's why. You're supposed to do what Jesus said to do. Because when you signed up to be a Christ follower, you said, that's what this whole life is about for me. I'm just trying to be more like Jesus. And in the context of relationships, Jesus said one fascinating statement. It's our one verse kind of for the day. Jesus said this fascinating statement. It's all about relationship. It was just about relationship. Remember, previously you've heard this before, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You've heard that before. But Jesus said, yeah, that's a good one, but this one that's better. He said, here's the command I'm going to give you in the context of relationships. Here's what he says, and John writes it for us in John 15. Jesus said, this is my commandment. Now, this is in the context of relationships. He says, in the context of relationships, love each other in the same way. In the same way that I've loved you. Not do unto others as you have them do unto you. Okay, that sounds good. But no. It's really more powerful than that. I just want you to love the same way that I loved you. That's my one and only command. I'm narrowing down the 613 Jewish laws to the two laws, to love God, love your heart, love your neighbors yourself. And now I'm going to shrink it down into one. Here's the one. Love each other the way that I loved you. And then he throws in this line. In case you don't understand what that feels like, here's how that's going to feel. There's no greater love than the one that lays down his life for his friends. Notice the context of relationships, the friendship. He's like, hey, this is all about relationships. And I just want you to know, love the same way. If you don't know how I loved you, here's how I loved you. I'll lay down my entire life for you. I will give up all of my hopes, my dreams, and my desires for you. Lay down your life for one another. And then he tells the Christ follower, he tells them, hey, you want to follow me? Just do what I said. If you're my friends, you're going to do what I've commanded you to do, to love each other the way that I have loved you. Set down your hopes and your dreams and your desires and realize and recognize that they don't owe you anything. The first step at fixing ourselves and our relationships in the context, if you say, man, I want to just get a little bit better in how I approach relationships in general, my marriage, my relationships with my children, coworkers, whatever relationships you want to put yourself, realize that you're owed nothing, but you owe them everything. In other words, this is how Jesus kind of shortened it. Lay down your life for one another. Now, just think about this for just a moment. Just kind of imagine the context and how this shapes a relationship that you're in. Just imagine how you go into work differently on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever days you go into work, and you walk into that workplace and you walk into that atmosphere and you say, you know what? You don't owe me anything, but I owe this organization everything because I've been called to love and to live as Jesus lived, that regardless of what I get back, I am called before God to love the way that he loved regardless of what I receive. Now just imagine in the power in relationships. Imagine the power that comes in a relationship. When one person enters in and say, listen, I realize honestly that you don't owe me my hopes and my dreams and my desires. And I will lay those down to help yours become a reality. Because I realize something, I owe you everything. Listen, the person that said yes to you, if you're sitting next to or around the person or, you know, that kind of thing, and you're kind of with a significant other, can I just tell you something? They don't owe you anything. They don't owe you a thing, but you owe them everything. It's a completely different, it's a submission competition. And listen, here's how you know, this is so important. Here's how you know. This is just kind of a little insight. If you're going, oh, this doesn't feel good. This is how you know. If you're one of the people who's been asking the other person to lay down their life for you, this is how you know whether or not you've been handing over your box and putting expectations on them. This is how you know whether or not you've been a person who's been simply saying, make my dreams and hopes come a reality. And here's how you know, again, it's so important, how you know if you've been the one asking them to lay down their life for you. You try to convince them that your box is better. You try to convince them your box is better. In fact, you've probably done it at some point. Baby, I know you have hopes, dreams, and desires, but let me tell you, the way we're going to go about having children is my way, because two is all we need. We don't need five kids. No. You're just trying to make your dreams and your hopes come to reality. This is how you know if you're asking someone else to lay down their life for you. Baby. Yeah, but listen, this is how we're going to spend money. I know. Have you seen how your parents spent money? We're not going to follow their pattern. Okay, look at your history. We're not doing what you said. We're doing what I said, okay? That's what we're doing because it's much wiser to go my way because my hopes and my dreams matter more. And whenever you have a person who's trying to constantly convince that your ways and your hopes and your dreams and your desires are better, and you're constantly trying to kind of coerce and kind of control the relationship, those people literally become controllers. That's all you're trying to do is just control, 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 control. Because at the forefront is you, and all you want to do is put your box at the center and say, all that matters to me is my hopes and my dreams and my desires, and my box is better than your box. Whenever you have that, you have a recipe for disaster. Eventually, and maybe you marry somebody that has a lot of humility and just kind of just, okay, my box doesn't matter, and they'll just do it, and you'll win, and you'll win, and you will win. You'll get that house, you'll get that car, you'll get what you want. You'll get your hopes, dreams, and desires, and you'll win. You'll be happy, but they won't. And you might even make it to the end. Truth is, some couples make it till death do they part, and they live that way. One person controls, one person got their box full, and the other person's is empty. But let me just tell you, that's no way to have a marriage. That's no way to engage in a relationship. There's a better way. And I'm going to tell you that next week. And I'm going to make you come back. So here's your homework. I really am going to tell you next week. Here's your homework for this week. On the bottom of your notes, there's a couple fill-in-the-blanks, just two quick ones. Here's your homework. Now, let me tell you what your homework is not, okay, as we put this up. Do not think, oh, this is the conversation I'm waiting for. We're going to take the long way home today. We're going to have a conversation. Trust me. You know, I'm calling a babysitter tonight. This is my opportunity. You know, we're not going to go through our drawers and take all of the comfortable stuff, okay? This is your homework. Don't try to have this long conversation. You will be tempted to have this long, drawn-out conversation. Don't. We're not ready for that yet. Here's the question that I want you to ask yourself. This is your homework assignment. What's in your box? Just what's in your box. Don't tell them what's in your box. Don't quiz them. Don't say, hey, write down what's in my box. Do you know what's in my box? You know, don't. Okay? Don't do that. Don't go there. Instead, just say, just ask. I'm asking you. Because some of you, you've actually may have never thought about it. You have a box. You have some hopes and dreams and desires. I just want to make sure you're aware of them. So just answer that question and just kind of write it down. What's inside your box? What are your hopes and your dreams and your desires? And just think about it. And the second question, this is the second homework kind of part to it. Have you been and are you expecting someone to carry your box? Have you been doing... Here you carry this. Here, make sure this becomes a reality because this is what I've hoped my whole life for. This is what I'm wanting to do. Have you been asking somebody to carry your box? You can decide whether or not you have, or how you have, or who you have. It could be a friendship, could be a relationship, could be the marriage, you know, that you're involved in, or maybe the one that you're dating, the one you're engaged to. Have you been asking and are you expecting someone to carry your box? I know you're excited about that message. You're like, yes, this is what I came for today. So uplifting. Listen. If you take on this kind of idea and mindset that you're involved in a submission competition, if you can just hold on to this week that you are not owed anything by their I do. Let me say that again. You are not owed anything by their I do, but you owe them everything. So try to go about this week and kind of realize and let that turn in you a little bit. And then next week, we're going to unpack it even more so. And I want to say this to you as you're dismissed today. If you know of a couple, you have some friends, you're like, man, they could use some fixing. You know, there's a friendship that you have. Here's what I want you. Don't go to them and say, you could really use some fixing. You got to come here. No. you just say, hey, this is how you approach it. This really helped me. This has already, it's been 5 days, I'm telling you, this idea, it's already helping our marriage. I'm seeing a difference inside of me. This is helping me. I think you should listen to it as well. Because this is helping me. Because this is about fixing us. It's not about fixing them. It's about fixing us. It's about putting something inside of us that's kind of innate in us to want to put ourselves at the forefront and learning instead to be like Jesus and submit and surrender to each other. So encourage somebody to bring back next week. Like I said, if your significant other wasn't here today, man, encourage them. Go online, listen to our podcast, download it, listen to it there. Next week, we're going to pick it up. We're going to be discussing one of the most misinterpreted. I'm telling you, it is the most misinterpreted, and it is the most quoted verse in all of wedding history. It's the one that everybody knows, everybody hears, and everybody loves, and some people hate. But we're going to be talking about this particular verse that is often the most mistaught verse in all of Scripture, and it's going to help you become better at relationships. We love you guys so much. We'll see you next week.